I'm a grateful believer. I've had some success with my recovery, with my alcoholism, and my name is Ron. And I'm very happy to come before you tonight, fully clothed and in my right mind.
Amen. Yes.
Tonight is lesson 13, admit. This is the part of step 4 and 5 that separates the men from the boys, I guess. Ladies from the girls, something like that. Let's read principle 4 and step 5 if we have it. Is it on the other screen? No. That was a joke. Okay, open. See, principle 4, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5, 8. 5, step 5, we admitted God, ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Therefore, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other, so that you may be healed, James 5, 16. 2 weeks ago, we had a good lesson by Jim, and something about a girl falling in a well or something, I don't know. At that time, we talked about most of the aspects of this principle and step, and tonight we're going to pretty much concentrate on the last part of this step and principle, which is confess my faults to someone I trust. Or you can pick, we admitted to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. So we go from, we've got either, you can go a human being or someone you trust and anything in between, I guess. So, this part of principle 4 is often difficult for people. I'm often asked, why do I have to admit my wrongs to another person? So, I've got, this is kind of the main course here, and then I've got some of my thoughts and things that I put here, so I'm sorry, I'm going to be going back and forth. But why do I have to admit my wrongs to another? I put, if we skip this step, we might not recover. Ensures our complete house cleaning. There is something about writing things down that you know you're going to have to speak out later. There's something about, number one, writing these wrongs and things out, just writing them, but then knowing that we're going to have to speak them forces you to make them concise, forces you to make them legible, readable, so that somebody else will understand them, but most importantly, you'll understand them yourself. And so there's just something about that. It just takes it all out from, you know, if we just say a prayer, we say a prayer, it's words out in space. And if we think about our past and things like same thing, it could get, you know, there's all this stuff. But when I have to actually write it down, it's right there in black and white, makes it succinct, makes it what it is. So I think that's as big a part of this step of anything, because it makes it real. It puts it down in black and white. It's not just some abstract thing out there floating around in our head or in space. Many of us have been keeping secrets almost all of our lives. They take a toll on us. Admitting out loud those secrets strips them of their power, and they lose their hold on us. Still, we are afraid to reveal our secrets to another person, even someone we trust. We somehow feel like we have everything to lose and nothing to gain. And I'd like to take a moment break right there. And this is step study guidebooks. All of this stuff is in the step study guide. The step study is something important around here. We have, for newer people, we have the meeting, this big meeting of worship, and we have fellowship afterwards. We have our little groups that we go to for separate issues. And then, but then we have the steps and the principles, which is the main thing around here. That's what we learn, what we do, what heals us, what gets us better. So we have step studies. They start up about every 6 months or so, and I'd highly recommend that you go to one and be part of the deal here. So all of this stuff is out of this is book number 3. In the step study, which is where actually our step study is right now on this very step. So go figure. Anyway, book number 2, there was 3 lessons on your writing your sins and character defects and resentments and who you hurt. Because it's important, and that gave a lot of guides to kind of jog your memory and make you think, and you know, to get that stuff out, get it all down on paper, and whatnot. And so, anyway, this was the questions. I'm just going to answer a couple of them here that I did for this step. In principle 4, we are asked to give our inventory 3 times. Who are we to confess to, and why? We are to confess it to ourselves, to God, and to another human being. Why? First, ourselves. We can't fix a problem if we don't acknowledge and admit to ourselves what the problem is. Then we confess to God for humility and forgiveness, to make sure we own up to our transgression, for mercy. Confess to another human being to fulfill God's requirements for healing, to snap the chains that have bound us up and to gain true freedom. It takes the wind out of the sails of shame and guilt and makes us even with the world. We are only sick as our secrets. I really believe that. It's to bring about true humility, to have another person know our stuff. I put here, I actually used a different word. I'm not going to repeat here. But then 2, most of us find it easier to confess our wrongs to ourselves and God. We seem to have more difficulty in sharing them with another person. What is the most difficult part for you, and why? Well, of course, another person. God really should be the one we have the most problem with, but people are here and whatnot, and so why? It's always a risk to be truly transparent with another person because people like to talk and gossip. 2, I just feel this shame about some of the things I've done or am doing and will be embarrassed, and they might think I'm a real, I'm not going to say the word, and then it will crush my ego and pride, which is good. That's a good thing out of it. I won't look good. My image will be ruined. I've got 30 years sober. I should be perfect by now, shouldn't I? So that's just what I put down there for answering a little into the step study in the book there. You know what we really have to lose by telling our secrets and sins to another? We lose our sense of isolation. Somebody is going to come down into that well we talked about 2 weeks ago alongside us. Our sense of aloneness will vanish. And when I did that step, I felt part of something bigger than myself. You will know that you have accomplished a good foundation for your recovery. 2, we will begin to lose our unwillingness to forgive. When people accept and forgive us, we start to see that we can forgive others. Why? 3, someone else just listened to all of my buried garbage, and they didn't run away, reject, or judge me. I felt like I was still accepted and cared about, and we were closer than before. 3, we will lose our inflated false pride. As we see and accept who we are, we begin to gain true humility, which involves seeing ourselves as we really are and seeing God as He really is. Relating to our listener, but if you confess all of your wrongs to another human being, that's pretty much going to squelch your pride and ego right there. So just doing that step, that's why it's so hard to do, and all the other reasons, obviously. We will lose our sense of denial. Being truthful with another person will take away our denial. We begin to feel clean and honest. Why? I do truly believe that we are as only sick as our secrets, and now the secret's out. I felt freer and lighter, like I was carrying around a heavy weight that isn't there anymore. When I did my first fifth step, many years ago, actually it wasn't my first one, but it was the first one that I felt was successful and that I did a good job on, and I had a good sponsor to work with. And I did. I left the room just feeling like 10,000 pounds have been off my shoulder. I've had that a few times in the recovery, and that was the first one. It just felt really good. Just all this, it was just kind of frees you up. Now that you know what you have to lose, let me tell you three benefits you will gain. We gain healing that the Bible promises. Look at James 5:16 again. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The key word here is healed. The verse doesn't say confess your sins one to another and you'll be forgiven. God forgave you when you confessed your sins to Him. Remember, there's three parts to this. We figured it out ourselves and admitted to ourselves, broke through our denial. Then we told God, and we get kind of hung up on telling another person, but we tell God this stuff too, I think, in a prayer and personally. And that's where the forgiveness, only He can forgive us. But then the next part of it is that we tell another person, and that's where our healing begins. And I truly felt that myself when I did that step. Now He says you will begin the healing process when you confess your sins to another. We gain freedom. Our secrets have kept us in chains, bound, frozen, unable to move forward in any of our relationships with God and others. Confessing our sins snaps the chains so God's healing power can start. They cried to the Lord in their troubles, and He rescued them. He led them from the darkness and the shadow of death and snapped their chains. Psalms 107:13-14. Unconfessed sin, however, will fester. In Psalms 32:3-4, David tells us what happened to him when he tried to hide his sins. When I did not confess my sins, I was worn out from crying all day long. My strength was completely drained. Remember, openness is to wholeness as secrets are to sickness. Admit and turn from your sins. Remember that the only sin God can't forgive is the one that's not confessed. So it's your choice, really. We're going to do one or the other, whether we're in recovery or Christians or not. Confess sin leads to freedom and contentment, and unconfessed to continued bondage and sickness. So take your pick. We gain support. When you share your inventory with another person, you get support. When your old friend denial surfaces, your support person can be there to challenge you with the truth. But most of all, you need another person simply to listen to you and hear what you have to say. That's just the main person is the listener. And if you get some feedback, I will get into that too in another thing here, but that's the basic job. So that's kind of the long and the short of the why we should do this and what we get from it, and we kind of had some of that last week also. So you know, that's that part of the deal. The next part is the kind of the mechanics of how we go about doing this then. The first thing is we got to choose a listener. Who are we going to have listen to us? And we have it all written down now and ready to go. So this part of step five. Unlike little Jessica, the little girl trapped in the well, whom we talked about in lesson 12, you can choose the person to come down into your well with you. So choose carefully. You don't want someone to say, "You did what?" Or, "You shouldn't have done that, man." You don't need... That's not too cool. You don't need a judge and jury. We already talked about the verdict. Remember Romans 3:23-24. All have sinned, yet now God declares us not guilty. If we trust in Jesus Christ, who freely takes away our sins, and 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So, you just need someone to listen, basically. I find that it works best to choose someone who is a growing Christian and is familiar with the 8 principles or the 12 steps. That will make it more comfortable. You don't have to do that, but I think that works best. He knows what he's doing and just makes it more comfortable for everybody. Choose someone of the same sex as you, whom you trust and respect. Enough said. 2, ask your sponsor or accountability partner. Sponsor, I think, would be best, but that or accountability partner, whatever. Just be sure they have completed the step. The process should go more smoothly if the person is familiar with what you are doing. He or she will also have a sense of empathy, and if the person can share personal experiences, you will have a healthy exchange. And that's what you'll get more if you share somebody that's in your group with your issues and whatnot. But again, that's not certainly mandatory, but that's where you relate back and forth. You've probably done a lot of the same things you're ashamed of and whatnot, so it's just easier to relate. But my sponsor did that with me. I just had some stuff that just, it hurt to get it out there. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I did that," or, you know, something worse. So I was like, "Oh, well, you got an issue, pal." No. I'm going to go get somebody else to listen to my story. With all of that, and I agree with this totally, but here's the deal. If for some reason you just can't bring yourself to do this, then there are other options. I would rather have someone go outside the box a bit, if you will, rather than not do this step. It's key. Some ideas would be a pastor, a church counselor, a private counselor, psychologist, psychiatrist, maybe even a Catholic priest who is set up to do this kind of thing and sworn to privacy. So, you know, if you just got some stuff you're just not going to share till your deathbed or whatever, never, then I would consider that rather than not doing it at all. If you need help into looking into any of this, see myself or Jim back there. So I would like everyone to feel hope there, here, that they can complete this very key part of this very key step. So I wouldn't, you know, it's important enough to, you can find, you know, or what I used to say, I quit saying, but you could go clear across town, you know, find a sleazy bar with a guy named Guido there sitting at it, and just sit next to him, belly up next to him, and start reading, you know. But anyway, that's why I quit telling, isn't it? Where were we? Set an appointment with the person. So pick the person, then set an appointment, what works for both of you. A time without interruptions, get away from the telephones, kids, all interruptions. If a guy has an office, you have an office, a home, a room somewhere that's private. When I did mine, my sponsor, who lives in California, he was up here speaking, so we met at his hotel. And we had to put it off for a while until we could finally hook up. And that's why I say, read the thing and whatnot. And I don't know, I just walked out of there a lighter person. And I pretty much read and he pretty much listened. Church. This church is good. There's seats and tables around the perimeter. It's usually pretty quiet around here. There are people, though, that, are around and whatnot. So, but that's come up, and I think that, that's doable. Park, did it in a park one time. Listened to a guy's testimony. And a big park, a bench and picnic table there, and we sat and worked out. It was a hot summer day. It worked out well. Private, really open, but private. The place I have listened to most of the test of the fifth steps that I've listened to is in my car, or their car if it's more comfortable, bigger. But that works very well for me. I've done that a lot. And I used to drive, but now I just want to sit in a parking lot, and it's private. I can move if I want to. We can talk as long as we got nothing, no boundaries around us or whatnot. I just found that to be kind of the perfect fifth step place. Done that quite a bit over the years, and it's worked out well. All that being said, a word of caution, I wouldn't do this step without going through a step study or at least working with a sponsor or accountability partner. There's just enough going on here. Some people have been hurt or hurt others that they, well-meaning, but kind of went out unknowledgeably and just started confessing to, a family member or something like that and just didn't go very well. And that type of thing. So you just need, you need a little balance here and you need a little direction, I think. That's really the best is just get involved in the step study. I promote the step study like crazy because that gets you involved. You're learning all this stuff. You've got people around you to help you. You do the steps, you work the steps. You meet other people. Very conducive to finding, help you find a sponsor. It's kind of hard sometimes in the big picture, but that just zeroes in. A few guys get together, get to know each other real well and work these steps out and whatnot. It's an awesome experience, and it really gets you involved and makes you feel part of this deal, so as you are. No family members. I recommend no family members or close friends just for that reason. We don't fix ourselves at the possible expense of those close to us. Someone who will understand and be empathetic but totally non-affected. That I think that's just a great sentence, great rule for picking somebody. Just a little thing I wrote down here. We will have fear and maybe feel weak about having to do this. But we are actually the strong one if we will follow through. In our God, we are ultimately the stronger for cleaning house and obeying our Father. Don't worry about the person listening to your story or my story. It's not about them. They will have to take care of their own house. Be strong and of good courage. It is all well worth the work. And it really is. The guidelines for the actual meeting then, start with a prayer. Ask for courage, humility, and honesty. Read the principal four verses found in page 25 of this book, Participants Guides 3. It's a little recommended deal there. 3, keep your sharing balanced. Weaknesses and strengths. 4, end in prayer. Thank God for the tools he has given to you and for the complete forgiveness found in Christ. Thank you all very much. I hope that was helpful.